If you get ashes in your eyes, you can't see clearly. Very much like our own spiritual vision. We look at what's good and not seeing clearly, we distort its purpose, or we look on what is beautiful and misjudge its value. So, says Jesus, when you give to the needy, assuming thereby that we will give to the needy. That's a good thing to do. But often our eyes misjudge. And we turn what Jesus says is good, a good thing to do, and we make it into something that earns us brownie points, pats us on the back. Jesus criticizes the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets for doing the big, arrogant show-off parade, giving to the needy in order to be praised by others. And then, you know, there's those long-winded prayers and show-off fasting, all in an effort to be seen and praised by the folks around. Misjudging eyes. Eyes that see that which our Lord says is good, but then eyes that turn it to something that's not good, that is sinful. Our old Adam, that flesh still hanging on, desires credit. That the credit be given to me, please. Why is that? We love the spotlight. We relish to be up front, to be noticed. We like when it is all about us. It was but 2 days before the Passover when the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, says Mark. Jesus and his disciples were guests at Simon's dinner party when suddenly, without any grand announcement, this woman comes barging in, breaking open a jar of perfume, dumps it on Jesus' head. Suddenly, uninvited, I tell you, clumsy, no less, and expensive. Alabaster flasks weren't cheap, and they could be reused. But did you hear it? This lady smashes it open and renders it useless for the future. No recycling going on here. And it appears from the Greek text that she doesn't just dab a little here on Jesus, a little there on Jesus. Rather, she drenches him. Of course, there's the money thing in all of this. If it really could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, that would be roughly a year's wages for a common day laborer. At the modest wage of $12.50 an hour that you can get at most fast food restaurants around here, 300 days' wages convert to about 30 grand. Before the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples estimated that 200 denarii worth of bread would fill the crowd's bellies. So, well, just imagine how many hungry folks you could feed with 300 denarii. And that's just what the Twitter feed and Facebook posts were saying among Simon's guests that day. Outraged at this woman's wastefulness. Indignant that so many would go hungry because of her impulsiveness. This money could have been better spent. What a waste. Misjudging eyes. Something good seen as something wasteful, useless, bad. But Jesus sees clearly. He comes to the woman's defense and tells her critics to back off. He recognizes her clumsy, unceremonious, impulsive action as something beautiful, as preparation for the most beautiful, noble, good deed in human history, namely his suffering, his death, and burial. Well, yes, it's good to give to the poor, but when the very incarnate Son of God is sitting at your dinner table, all bets are off. He is preparing to suffer and to die for the sins of the world in just a couple of days, and then be hastily entombed without proper anointing at his burial. 300 denarii worth of ointment, no waste there. It's for Jesus. All for Jesus. Jar, perfume, all. And it's all but a picture of what would be happening in a couple of days. Do you see that picture? God's anointed one, giving his body, shedding his blood, to give his life as a ransom for the masses, the once for all Passover Lamb of God, poured out expensive ointment, poured out priceless blood. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Take a whiff. How good Simon's whole house must have smelled that day. The fragrance of this wonderful perfume wafting in the air. The smell of resurrection. But first there'd come the suffering and the dying of our Lord. I don't know this, but I've often wondered. I've wondered if he could still catch wind of a little of that perfume on his beard as he hung there on his cross. St. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Think about that. The smell of his holy person and his atoning work on the cross turned away the wrath of Almighty God against sinners once and for all. But it goes further. You too have been anointed. And you smell great. It happened at a font. Your holy baptism. There you were washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sparkling clean. You came forth from that water wrapped in the robe of Jesus' righteousness. The power of sin. The power of death. The power of Satan. Shattered. Just like that broken alabaster flask. Well, sure, you don't deserve a bit of this. You aren't better than the average believer. Misjudging eyes would see it all that way. But I'll tell you this. The gospel clears the ashes from your eyes so you can see clearly. Truly, said Jesus of this unnamed woman in Simon's house, truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. I don't know about you, but I wonder what her name was. Mark doesn't tell us. Why not, Mark? Because at that moment, she was not the point. Jesus was the point and his saving work. Her anonymity teaches us about how to see our good deeds and good works. She has done what she could, said our Lord of her, quite simply, without any big fanfare. She lived out her vocation, and on that day, she was called to do this beautiful work of anointing Jesus before his death and burial. She didn't do it to be praised and paraded. She wasn't looking for a handout and probably didn't even stay around long enough for a sandwich and glass of wine. She only had eyes for Jesus. She didn't even notice the beautiful flowers adorning the tables, the beads and the baubles the ladies were wearing, the fragrance of the fine food being cooked and served. No, only Jesus. Her eyes were fixed on him. Brothers and sisters, you too are called to do what you can in your various vocations, in whatever situation the Lord puts you in each day of your life. And you're set free from the enslaving misjudgment that you ought to do good things, either to be praised and paraded by others or to receive a back pat from God. In Christ, you receive rewards that you could never ever earn, all by grace, grace alone. Boy, that takes all the pressure off. Takes all the pressure off you, and it puts you under His easy yoke and His light burden. On this Ash Wednesday evening, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. His eyes judge rightly, always. And looking at you, the Lord beholds a child before Him. You, His child. Judged, forgiven, and righteous. Anointed with His Spirit. A beautiful fragrance in a world stenched with death and destruction. Don't hold back. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.